This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hello, home theater nerds, and welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters. AV Rant, HT guys, they're going to set you up and get you ready to have these experiences. And once you're all set up and ready to go, this is where you come to. Let's talk about all the different experiences we've had in our theaters. My name's DJ. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can talk to all of us, everybody in this great community, at the website aptly named brightsidehometheater.com. And there are places for comments underneath all the episodes and all of the featured theaters. And we happen to have another featured theater this week. We'll get to that in a little bit. So, yeah, I really appreciate it. I've said this week after week. Really appreciate it if you go to the website, check out the featured theaters, and leave a comment. These people put themselves out there. They have great theaters, most of them built by themselves, designed by themselves. And they're really something to look at and see the differences between what everybody's vision is and what they're able to pull off and what they want to pull off. It's pretty cool. And leave a comment, just great theater or something you'd like to have or something you see that maybe they could do differently. That would be cool too. Nobody's done that. They've actually made a recommendation to the theater owners. We're always up for that. Everybody's looking for ideas and that would be pretty cool. This week, let's get into, this is fun. Kind of. So this week, we're the new theme here is the experiences we have in our theaters. And sometimes in our theaters, one of the experiences we have is when your theater goes bad. So that's going to be a new segment. Do you have a story? Do you have something that when your theater went bad, you were sitting down, you had your popcorn, a hot popcorn ready to go, your cold drink ready to go, and you went to push play and the popcorn got cold and the ice melted and you had to fix whatever issue you had because, hey, sometimes, you know, it's technology. Things don't go wrong. HDMI cables go bad. Things go haywire, and we don't know why. You just start unplugging and seeing what you can figure out. And let me be the first to give you a story, because as I said on Twitter the other day, my wife and I sat down on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock to watch Karate Kid in 4K, the original from, I believe, 1984. Looked fantastic, by the way. Little grainy at the beginning, but then as it played out, the colors were really nice. Great grays in the background, great gradation, everything. But that's not what this story is about. I go to push play, nothing. My screen's black. Nothing was working. I couldn't figure it out. I'd been playing with it the night before, messing with some settings, and now I come down and nothing is working. So I went back and forth. I rebooted. I'm trying to watch on the Zapiti. I reboot the Zapiti. I'm thinking that's what it is. It wasn't working out. Shut the whole system down. Reboot the whole system. That doesn't work. Change the inputs. That doesn't work. Change the inputs on the receiver. Maybe the input went bad. Swap it out with one that I know was working. Okay, Apple was working. My Apple TV was working. That's great. All right, let's try it on that. Nope, it didn't work. Now let's check and see if my Blu-ray is working. Nope, no signal coming from my Blu-ray. All right, let's go back to the Apple TV. Nope, no signal from my Apple TV now. Okay, what's going on here? Go back to the Zapiti. Got a signal. But now now I go to change the setting on the Zapiti, go to change the page, and when it flips, no signal. All right, maybe it's the HDMI, change the HDMI cable from the receiver to the projector. That didn't help. Nothing was working, and then what I decided to do, now this, we're an hour into this, I change the setting on the projector. I go from my, I've only got one input on the projector. I change the input from my HDMI 1 to HDMI 2. Everything worked. Okay. My input went bad on my HDMI 1, but now I have to change all the settings on my HDMI 2 because my projector is calibrated. All the settings are on HDMI 1. So I know what my settings are. I have them saved. So I start to do that, but I'm like, oh man, I made some nice little ones here. So maybe let me go back. Let me see what happens. Change it back to HDMI 1. Everything works. I have no idea what happened. If anybody has a clue, let me know. But I have no idea what happened. My wife sat there very patiently waiting. But this is the stuff that can happen. I don't know why this happened. I don't know what happened this morning or that morning. I don't know. Now I'm nervous to like, what did I start it up wrong? I did everything the same way I always started. I hit on my Harmony remote. I hit Zapiti, play this, that, and but everything, the screen went blank, like it wasn't existing, like the receiver wasn't sending a signal, but it wasn't the receiver because I tried it every other way. So this is the stuff that can happen. And this is why I've looked into actually doing this for a business. And a lot of the listeners, a lot of you guys, you know this because this is what we do. We like to tinker. And talking with people that are in this business, they're like, this is why it's so hard to be in this business. Can you imagine if this issue happened? It took me an hour and a half to solve it. Imagine if this had happened with somebody that isn't hands-on, that doesn't know what they're looking for, doesn't know how to start eliminating issues. Okay, I know it's not this because I just checked that. And you get this phone call at 9 o'clock in the morning and you've got to figure this out over the phone with somebody. The respect that I have for the people that do this for a living, it's crazy because most of the people aren't like us. Most of the people aren't like you guys where we're hands on. And if something does arise, we can solve it. And like my wife said, as I'm working through the problem, and I got stressed out. I'm like, why is this happening? But this is part of the fun. If you're listening and this isn't part of the fun and everything's been done for you, kudos. Great. You have an awesome installer. Maybe this is why I get issues like this, because I like to tinker, because I do this. Maybe I did something the night before with one of my settings that caused this to happen. Most likely, I have to admit, you know. So, but this is the fun. And like I said to my wife, as I made my multiple trips from the media room back to the back of the room where the projector is, and I'm going through and hitting this and hitting that, hitting buttons here, pulling cables. And she's like, don't forget, this is your hobby. This is supposed to be fun. I'm like, this is my fun. I am having fun right now. Believe it or not, this problem solving, this is part of the fun. This is why I got into this. This is what makes it fun for me. How do I solve the problem of either A, that day, or how do I solve the problem of how do I make this system better? And it's like, what can I do? That's the fun. So yeah, it was a tough Sunday morning. Yeah, I was in a nice heated home working through my home theater. There's worse ways to spend a Sunday morning. And at the end of it, we got to watch Karate Kid in 4K and everything was great. It's been great ever since. Yeah, when the projector shuts down to change, you know, because you hit a button, you're changing inputs. And do I get a little bit nervous? It's not going to come back on. Yeah, but that'll pass over time. It's happened before and it'll happen again. I remember when the video game systems, I don't know if it's PS2 or whatever, and you'd accidentally hit the okay for, do you have 1080p? And you hit yes. And you're like, no. Oh crap, I don't have 1080p, but now it thinks I do. So I got a black screen. You got to take the whole entire box to a TV that does have 1080p because there's no way to fix it unless you get back into the settings, which of course they've fixed that now. Cause when you hit it, if you don't respond and say, does this work, and hit yes, it'll reset back to its original setting, which is a very nice feature. 10, 15 years ago, not so good. But anyways, there are many, many problems we've all faced. So let's add that to the podcast. Email it to me, because it would be way too hard to find these things through Twitter. So email me your issue and I'd love to talk about it on the podcast. That'd be fantastic. It'd be, and it is. If you're like me, it's part of the fun that we do have in our theater. So the new section of the podcast, When Your Theater Goes Bad. And yeah, if you want to plug whoever helped you, whether it's AV Rant, HT Guys, a local guy, another podcast, let me know. I'm not opposed to that. That would be great because there are a lot of us out there that love doing this stuff. And the people that do install these things, they should get the recognition because they're the ones get it. Even if you're a guy that had yours completely installed, you don't really know what anything means, but you're a big fan of home theater and you happen to be listening to me. Hey, tell me who your installer is. And when you have an issue, they come running right out. They need all the credit in the world. So, but that was my Sunday morning. The next thing I'd like to comment on, listening to the HT guys last week, Ara and Braden were talking about Wonder Woman. So I thought I would give a couple of scenes because they were talking about a couple of the scenes that they really liked. Braden doesn't have a surround sound system just yet. He's still putting his house back together, and Ara had a blast with it, as I did. So I thought I'd give a couple of cool scenes. At the 1 hour and 8 minute mark, takeoff. I thought the HDR was really good here. This is where they, Steve and Diana, or Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, they take off in the invisible plane. It wasn't invisible at the exact moment of takeoff. But I thought that if you saw inside that cockpit, it had really good detail and depth of field, considering this was streaming and the HDR that you got out of this, I thought was really, really good. Just looking around that cockpit and all the different grays and the blacks of the gauges and the bright lights and stuff, the Atmos was really nice as well. Nice bass, discrete channel use coming down as the trucks chased them down the runway. The trucks would go down one side of the room. I believe it was the left first and then the right. And then flying when they finally got in the air and they were flying through the fireworks. I thought it looked fantastic. I can't wait to see this on disc. It wasn't, and they had the nice bass notes of fireworks that you get where it goes boom, boom. Like, you know, those big bassy ones, but they're not huge. It's just those little round white lights that go boom in the sky. You could hear those around your room. I thought that was cool. We'll be talking about fireworks in a little bit when we get into Lord of the Rings, but I thought that was nice. And there's a lot more to this scene, and I thought it was a really cool scene. Some people have issues with the movie itself, but there are some good home theater scenes, and I'll definitely be breaking this down later this year when it comes out in 4K. But at 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 40 seconds, at the end of the movie, we have the Make-A-Wish part where Pedro Pascal's character, Maxwell Lord, is telling the world to make a wish. And then everybody starts making a wish and the scenes start jumping all around the world. And you get the wishes, you're hearing them all around your room. Very much like the scene in the Joker, at the end of Joker, when the TV screens are going off and you can hear it all around the room. A lot of nice deep bass. At 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 10 seconds into this scene, you get a subtle rapid bass thumping. It persists here, really building the tension. And the different sounds of Maxwell Lord's voice through the different TVs and monitors, because as they go into different scenes around the world, every monitor, you get a different pitch to Maxwell Lord's voice. And the action of Wonder Woman and Cheetah facing off at 2:06, it adds even deeper and more bass and more surround use. Really, really cool. Then when Wonder Woman gets in to stop Max, the wishes start up again all around your room. That's pretty cool. But the entire end sequence, basically from 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 40 seconds, is really good demo material, even while streaming. And like I said, I can't wait to see this disc in 4K. If you've heard bad things about it and you just want to experience a couple of things, you haven't watched the movie, but you have HBO Max, check out these two scenes. They are pretty fun in your theater. Crank them up. And the 4K, like I said, through my streaming service, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I've heard other issues out there that people didn't enjoy it. They thought HBO Max was bad. There's so many different variables. Like I said, with my issue Sunday morning, there's so many things to get a disc. Right? To get a disc to read correctly and be able to have the best possible picture means you have to have a good disc player. We all know the different levels of disc players. Your receiver has to read that correctly. the information it's getting and pass that on to its speakers correctly. Then from there, you also, whatever monitor you have, whether it's a projector or a TV, that needs to be done correctly. All of that stuff has to be done. That's just through physical media, which we all know is the best possible that you can get. There's so many factors that go into that. If one setting is off in any of those, you may get horrible black levels, or you may get your colors may be off. Now add streaming into that. That adds so many more variables that's why when a movie comes out streaming, you're like, this looked horrible. Well, it looked great for him, but it looked horrible for him. Your streaming service might not be putting it out the right way. Who knows? And I don't mean HBO Max. I mean your internet service. There's so many variables thrown in there that makes it so hard. It's tough to judge a movie off of a streaming service. Now, if you don't like the story, streaming service isn't going to change that. But I'm just saying, like, the quality of a movie and how good it could be. And again, I'll go to Thor Ragnarok because we all know that the sound in that isn't very good. And that's through a disc. But there's a lot of factors that went into that. And so just add in even more factors, like I said, with a streaming service. And speaking of that, all those factors, that's why it's nice to have a calibrator come out. And I wanted to mention this week because last week on AV Rant, they were talking about having a calibrator come out, and they've said in the past that you don't really need it, but it is a good add-on to have. And I think what they were trying to say is if you want to get the most out of your monitor / projector, it is a good idea because they will set everything, they will pull the most out of that projector / or monitor. And it's a great idea to have somebody come out. But one thing that caught my ear was Tom saying, even in COVID, it's not a bad idea to have them come out, make sure they wear a mask, and then just stay away from them. And I agreed with him up until everything he said about stay away from them. One of the things that I think is super important, because I have such a great relationship with my calibrator, he has taught me so much. And when I recommend a calibrator, you want to find somebody that will let you sit with them and watch what they do. Not that you're going to be able to repeat it at all, but my recommendation is you sit there and you get to do and learn what they're doing. And then you see those settings. And like I said, you need the equipment. It's thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of equipment to do this correctly. You can't do what they do even after they leave. But the experience you get from sitting with them and the knowledge you gain from talking to them for what could take up to, if you're not there, maybe an hour and a half. If you're there, 2.5 hours. You want that person that's going to explain to you exactly what you're getting out of this process. And I think that is as valuable as the actual calibration itself. I don't care if it's, you know, if they say, well, it's $300 if you don't sit with me and it's $450 if you sit with me. Pay the $450 because you're going to get so much more out of it. So my recommendation wouldn't be to mask up and sit with them. My recommendation is if you've waited this long, wait till you're more comfortable having somebody in your home and letting them sit with you. Maybe a few months, even if it's a year, it's still worth it. That is part of the process, is meeting the person and developing a relationship with that person so that when you go to buy a new projector like I do, I call him and I say, what do you recommend? What should we do? What's the best? And you'll have a relationship and you'll have a better understanding of what a calibration is all about. All right, let's keep this moving because this is going to be, you already see the timestamp, but this is going to be a long podcast. All right, so had a conversation earlier this week, very brief one on Twitter with Steve George at Legal Beagle OK, talking about Midway. Very brief conversation. Way back when I reviewed Midway, I loved that movie. I loved the breakdown. I watched this special features. I listened to the commentary. I just really got absorbed into that movie. And that's what movies are to me. That's what my theater is for me. At the time, Steve had said he was I barely even knew who he was. I had barely any listeners and he didn't like that movie. And I was like, I was horrified at the time. I was like, oh no, here goes my reputation. Here goes everything. And his opinion on the movie was the CGI in the background wasn't very good. He didn't like Ed Skrein's acting. There was a bunch of things he didn't like, which are all legit. And what was funny is a week later, my son comes home from school and I told him, you got to see this movie. I really liked it. Well, now I'm watching this movie with Steve George's perception in my head. It doesn't change my perception of the movie, but I see what he's talking about. I saw the stuff in the background. I saw the CGI that he didn't like. I'd already seen Ed Skrein's acting and I kind of agreed with him, but it didn't bother me at all because I got so absorbed into the movie. I really enjoyed that. But the critical eye of the movie that he saw is one of the steps, and that's why I wanted to bring it up this week, is this is a new year, and the year that I had last year, the learning process that I had, it's like I've been doing this a long time, watching movies, enjoying movies, and letting the experience just take me over and just have fun in the room. But listening to other people, Steve, one of them, and their critical eye of these, it's been not difficult at all for me, but it's been a learning experience to get that critical eye, but not use that in a way that's going to deter me from what I ultimately do enjoy in these movies, like Transformers. It's not the best movie in the world. It's hokey, but it's like going on a roller coaster to me. It's just entertainment. That's what I want. I want my room to go boom, and it does. And that's what I enjoy. But now I'm learning, I'm getting that more critical eye. I'm understanding what people are seeing, and now I'm trying to point these out and still be able to say, this is fun, like a movie like Lucy. That's why I enjoy Lucy so much. That's why I bring that up so much, is because I do think, like I said in my year in review, it's a diamond in the rough. A lot of people don't know about it, but if you listen to what the critics are going to say, you're going to miss out on such a great home theater experience. And that's what this podcast is about. It's not about the most critical movies. It's not like critiquing them down to the nitty gritty, whether it be storytelling or even the nitty gritty of like edge enhancement is here or this or that. It's like, it's how does this movie feel in your room? And that's, I thought it was a good opportunity. Let's start the year off with talking about that, since I am changing, not really changing, but giving a better idea. Like, it's about the experiences. And speaking of good experiences, WV Brew from Twitter said about Looper, at Brightside HT, Looper, never watched it before, was in 4K for $6.99 on Amazon. Really interesting story, good cast, good audio and video. So that's in this week's movie recommendations. I saw Looper a while ago, and I really enjoyed that movie too. I haven't seen it in 4K though. Not even sure if I own it. I'll have to check my collection. But it is a good movie. And thanks for that, WV. And that's the idea. The other thing, too, I wanted to add to this year, not just movie recommendations. I'm going to change it from movie recommendations to experiences or scenes. Let's call it that. This week's movie and scenes recommendations. So I'm breaking down all of these movies and I'm giving you my favorite scenes from the movies. If you're watching a movie during the week, shoot me an email. It's just saying, you know, give me a timestamp and what you thought of that scene. And obviously tell me what movie it is too. If I actually have that movie, I'll check it out and I'll say what you said and then I'll say my version of it too. See if I saw what you saw. Because again, all of our rooms are calibrated differently. They all have different issues. And I thought that would be a fun thing to add in, that to get you guys' perspective of each scene that you're watching. So instead of just the movies, send me a scene. Send me a couple of scenes. And email me, please. brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And I'll talk about those scenes as well. So it will still do movies. We'll still have the movies there recommended, but we'll add scenes in as well. Moving along, we had a few new Twitter followers this week. We had Paul Johan, Pank Eye Pant. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. It's PANKAJ. PANT is the last name. Blaze Leslie and Patricio Perez. Hopefully I pronounced everybody's name correctly. I don't think I did, and I apologize. name pronunciation is not my specialty. But thank you all for joining. Thank you. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater community. Take a look around. Have some fun. Make yourself at home. And that gets us to this week's featured theater. This week's featured theater comes from Scott Lindstra. And Scott emailed me. He said, DJ, I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now, and I really enjoy it. I heard your call for more theater pictures, so I decided to submit mine. I've always wanted a dedicated theater, and when my wife and I were house shopping in 2012, finding one with a room I could use was a must. We ended up buying a house with a completely unfinished upper half story with a perfect room. However, it took many years to save up the money to finish the space. Even when we did, I decided to do much of the work myself on nights and weekends, so it took 4.5 years to complete. I was finally able to open it up fully furnished this past October. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm starting to decorate it a little bit. My equipment is as follows. 110-inch 235-1 Elite Screens acoustically transparent screen, a JVC DLA X30 projector, he says 1080p, I'll upgrade to 4K someday, Denon AVR X3600H receiver, Monoprice Unity 50-watt by 2 amp for the top rears, Panasonic DP-UB420 UHD player, NVIDIA Shield tube for streaming, Polk Audio 70 towers for left, center, and right speakers, Polk Audio 30 bookshelves for side and back surrounds in custom boxes in the columns, Polk Audio RC60i speakers for top fronts and rears, an Advent ASW1200 for a subwoofer, dual SVS subs will be my first upgrade when money allows. And he has HD design Southampton seats. Keep up the good work and let me know what you think, Scott. And after going through these pictures, I love this theater. I love all of these theaters, so that's kind of redundant. But go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com. Check out these. It'll be under his name, Lindstra Theater. And check these out. The first picture that we're looking at is, I can smell the newness. It looks like a brand new house. Look, the carpet, it's so fluffy. It's so nice. We're looking down a hall, and at the end of the hall is the Incredibles movie poster. Really, really nice. Fresh paint. I mean, you can still see the gloss on the top of the door frame on the paint. It's so nice. It's so glossy. Maybe it's still wet. It's so nice in here. Then the next picture, more of the same. That, oh, such deep, luscious carpet. Oh, it looks so good. That must be such a great sound absorber. I love the doors, too. The texture to the door. You have the panels in the middle, the wood panels. We have a Pirates of the Caribbean poster. Obviously, you see it's the end of the hall because on the right side of the picture, you can still see the Incredibles poster. So we've just come down the hall. I'm hoping we're about to go into the theater. I see how I'm building the suspense. As on the website, you can just flip through. Nice little trash can. That's beautiful. Oh, nope. Next picture, we're not in the theater yet. But we see the Lindstra Home Cinema on the top of the refrigerator. Nice ticket. Big fan of the Incredibles. He has a Incredibles action figure, microwave, candy, popcorn. I'm sorry, this is on the left of the previous picture. Now I see what happened here with the Pirates of the Caribbean. Down, that's on the right. So just before you go into the theater, so you turn the corner, you take a right, take a left, I'm sorry. Here's all of your concession stand. You can heat up your popcorn. You've got your cold drinks in the microwave. Yeah, in the refrigerator. Then we have a Beauty and the Beast to the side of the Incredibles poster on the other wall. Next picture after that, now we're walking into the theater and we see those beautiful seats, 4 seats across the front row. He went with, it looks like, is that navy blue or is it just the tint of the picture? Is it black, but it looks tinted blue, but nice lights up on the wall there on the columns. I love it looks like an actual theater. It looks really, really nice. Just looking in from here is very kind of awe-inspiring. Just looking in the door. Very clean. Rug, the carpet, so plush. Oh, I like the lights on the stairs too. I have a question about that in a second. The front row, all the speakers, like my theater, I love this look of a theater where all the speakers are behind the wall. So he has acoustically transparent screen, so speakers are back there. But the black front wall, now that I see the black front wall, that must be like a very deep navy blue along the wall there with the white at the bottom looks really, really nice. Oh, so nice. I went with blue myself. I went with more of a royal blue. But I love that blue with the black front wall. Looks like acoustically transparent cloth with maybe some sound dampening behind it. Slide to the next picture. Now we're at the front of the room looking to the back. And you can see the projector on the shelf there. That looks really nice. Looks like you have a false wall in the back too as the projector's kind of set in. And now it's definitely, you can see that's definitely a bluer wall as you're looking to the back of the room with a little bit more light back there. You see the nice blue wall, but then the slightly off blue with the acoustic panels. He says he wants to decorate more, but I don't know if I would. Maybe replace the acoustic panels with an acoustically done like art, like a movie poster that you could get done. But I really, really like the clean look of this room. Maybe decorate the outside of the room, like your concession area, like you did. Maybe add some more there. But this is such a clean look. I don't know if I'd want to touch this, but knowing me, of course I would. I love the woodworking down along the below the chair rail that you have going there. Really nice. Seats look gorgeous. Illuminated cup holders. Next poster, we're on the other side of the room, looking to the back of the room. And I guess this is where I'll ask the question about your lights. Now, are those lights in your floor at the stairway there, are those connected to the lights of the room? So when you dim the lights, do those go down as well? I was actually thinking of putting hue lighting under my seats to get that nice effect that you have. The problem is I know people that have gotten the illuminated seats. You plug them in and when the seats are on, the lights are on. So when you dim the lights, your seats, if you kick your seat back, it puts light all over your screen and kind of washes it out. So you kind of have to disconnect that. So I was thinking of actually doing my own and connecting it using hue lighting and connecting it. So when I dim the room, the seat lights go down too. So I was wondering if those stairs went down too. But moving to the next picture, we're at the back of the room now. We're basically doing a circle around the room, looking at the front, and you see the front of the room. And that nice clean wall and obviously the other side of the room identical to the left side of the room. The left side of the room. Now we're looking at the right side of the room. So nice. The black front wall, blue, and then the white. Then the next picture we look at, now we get to see it from that doorway. We're looking in with that screen. Looks so good. But now I see the lights are out and I see the lights on the stairs. So I'm wondering if those could go out. And do you have any issues with that? If they don't go out, maybe they're far enough away. They don't affect the vision, the image on your screen. Then the next picture, we're back to the left side of the room looking to the rear with the lights out. You get that little hue from the projector. Oh, I forgot to mention the ceiling. Look at that ceiling. It's either a charcoal or it is black, but it looks so nice because it's outlined with the crown molding. The white crown molding looks so nice going down the sides and across the back. So it really pulls everything together. You have that nice accents there, even on the column in the back wall. If you're looking at this picture that we're looking at right now on the left side of the room, looking to the rear with the lights out, you can see the front part of the column has the blue on it, but the sides have white all the way down. So it's kind of like we want the white for the accents, but we don't want any reflections on the screen. So obviously the sides of that column aren't going to reflect to the screen. So it's really, really nice. I love all the details here. And then the next picture is basically you're sitting at the back of the room looking at that screen. That looks like a really vibrant picture. I don't see any issues. I don't know if the stairway lights are still on or not, but I don't see any issues at all. It looks really, really nice. Then the next picture, we're going out the backside of the room, it looks like. I think there was a door. There is a door on the left rear of this room. So we're going to go through that door here in this picture. And now we're into his media room. Looks like he's got all his movies collected there. He's got a couple of computers going. Looks like one's on top of an older one, maybe. And then his rack system. Everything's lined up right there in a separate room. That's really nice. An AC Infinity cooling system at the top. You have your Denon receiver, all of his equipment. Really nice rack. I like the aged wood, too. That looks really nice. And then the last picture is all the movies. It's his movie collection. I think I have that exact same cabinet. I think that's the one that I have. I don't know how tall. It may be that one's a little taller, but I have that exact or something very similar to that. Very, very nice. And that's what I would do. I would leave that room alone. He could do whatever he wants. But I would decorate this room a little bit and decorate the lobby and the hallway leading up to that room and leave that room as clean and pristine as you can. And if you can, if it's all possible, ask people to hover. Because that carpet looks so good and I wouldn't want to get it worn out. So if they can jump to their seat, that will save you a lot of time and energy of having to replace that. It looks so good. That's what my father used to say when I was a kid. I just vacuumed the floor. Stay off the floor. Okay, what am I supposed to do? Very, very nice room. Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much. What a great addition. What a great way to start off the year. Really appreciate it. If you want to have your theater featured, email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com and we'll get your pictures up there. I'll make my comments and other people can go there and comment as well. So thanks, Scott. And it's time. I meant to tell you this at the beginning of the show, but it is in the title. So hopefully you know. But here we go. It's time to get to Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Part 1. Yes, part one. So I'm only doing one part because of multiple reasons. This movie deserves it is the first and foremost reason. I was trying to do the entire movie, but this podcast, I don't think you'll be disappointed by my breakdown of just part one. I spent a lot of time on this. I loved it. I loved looking at it. And we're going to do a part a month for the rest of the year of these six movies. And they really do. I am so looking forward to part two. I've already watched it, but I'm looking forward to breaking it down, sitting down again and breaking this down. I'm not complaining. I spent 6 hours breaking this movie down. It takes me that long to look at scenes, type it out and do it. I did three different sittings of breaking it down. And that's just breaking it down. That's not the viewing the first time, which was 1 hour and 45 minutes. So I watch the movie 1 hour and 45 minutes and I snap my notes really quick. And then I go back through and I break the movie down. And it's probably the biggest breakdown I've done yet. So the second reason, besides that it deserves it, and I think it's going to take a little while to do all these movies, is what my art teacher, Mr. McPhee, taught me in high school. You need to know when to take a break. And that's why I broke this. It took me that long to do this breakdown is because I had to step away. Because if you've sat there for long enough, you're like, you get bored, not really bored, but you start taking shortcuts. And I don't think these scenes deserve a shortcut. They deserve the attention that they're getting. So I wanted to give everything I could to each scene. So I'd take a break and come back to it. And to do this entire movie, all almost 4 hours of it, it would be a long podcast. It would be a long process. And I think it would be tough on the listener as well to be like, all right, I'm done. I think it'll be very exciting when we sit down and listen to part two next month. At least that's what I'm hoping. But okay, so that's the beginning. That's the opening. Let's play the trailer and we'll come back to this. And I'm going to give you my breakdown of Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, Part 1, obviously the extended edition. That's what I'm talking about.
In In the lands of Middle-earth, legend tells of the Dark Lord Sauron and the ring that would give him the power to enslave the world. Lost for centuries, it has been sought by many and has now found its way into the hands of the most unlikely person imaginable. Sauron needs only this ring to cover all the lands in darkness.
What must I do?
The ring must be destroyed.
The ring must be cast back into the fires of Mount Doom.
There is evil there that does not sleep.
Sauron's forces are already moving. They will find the ring and kill the one who carries it.
No! Frodo!
Come on, Frodo!
Do this alone.
You have my sword.
And you have my bow.
And my axe.
This task was appointed to you, and if you do not find a way, no one will.
The enemy has many spies, birds, beasts.
Something draws near. I can feel it.
Get off the road!
Remember, Frodo, the ring is trying to get back to its master. It wants to be found. Let us hope that our presence may go unnoticed. They are coming.
Had never come to me.
Back, you devil!
I wish none of this had happened.
You will find your courage.
If you want him, come and claim him.
All right. Very quickly, spoiler free. I mean, if you haven't seen this movie, I don't know who you are or why you're listening. But let's go over the picture very quickly. Fantastic. Phenomenal. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some other F words. Just kidding. I know phenomenal's not an F word. Just jaw dropping. That's not an F word either. Sound. All of the same words. There's not much else I can say that hasn't already been said when this came out. Are there flaws with it? Yeah, but I'm not going to focus on that. Nothing is perfect. There are a couple of issues here and there that I saw, but the goodness in this movie is, and I said it when I was talking about it for the Blu-ray of the year, I will literally be breaking down every movie thinking, is it as good as any of the Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit? And that's another reason I'd like to extend this out throughout the year, is because it gives me that opportunity to once a month to break these movies down and to check out how good a picture can look and how good a movie can sound. So there's really not much else I can say. When we get into the scenes, I'll be saying why I think this is so spectacular. So the popcorn's popping. We're already into this. So let's get to the scenes. Of course, we're going to go with the opening. It starts very, very quiet, very dark, you know, all black screen. And then we come in with the voiceover, which I felt like, I believe that's Cate Blanchett's character. I can't remember how to pronounce her name. But it's her voice filling the room. And I felt like there was a heaviness to it that I hadn't heard before. And I really liked it. I didn't really get that out of the 1080p version, but with this Atmos, the new Atmos track, I felt like it was a little bit more bassy, a little heavier of a voice in it, but it was still very pleasant. So I really like that. And the clarity of the picture is evident right away. I've mentioned it on Twitter. I've mentioned it in the past on the podcast. That map of Middle Earth looks almost 3D. And it really looks like it's made of leather. Up until this 4K rendering, I always just assumed it was paper. It looked like old timey, paper. And looking at it now, the wrinkles had such depth to them in that paper that it really looked 3D, and you could there was a depth to those wrinkles, and even the mountains drawn in ink, you could see the texture of the ink on those. It looked really nice. But as the scene played out and they showed the different, the elves, the dwarves, but then the nine kings that represent the race of men, I had to freeze that shot because I love that detail so much. Like it's very quick, so you have to freeze it because it starts to fade away. The screen goes dark, but the detail in their aged faces, the crowns, their beards, the robes, all the different textures and patterns and colors. And then you could even look, there wasn't a lot of detail to the rings, but for the first time, you could actually see the rings that they're wearing and they really stood out. I know that they were there in 1080. I could see them going back and looking at it, but it just didn't have that punch. It didn't have that overall detail that I've never seen the detail that I'm seeing now. And then as it fades, the colors look nicer too, as that scene fades to black. Everything looks really, really nice. At 2 minutes and 40 seconds, the "fought for freedom" is the line. And as we get into the Battle of Middle Earth, the sound ramps up and the score starts to fill the room. The bass makes its presence known in a big way. But as the camera pans over and you're looking at the battle that's going on down below, and you can hear that battle, but as the camera pans through, there's a cliff on the right side of your room. And as the camera pans through, the cliff gets closer and it's getting close to that side of your room. And as it goes off to the right, and like now the cliff is off camera, but it is on the right side of your room, the detail of the battle going on that cliff gets very clear, a lot more clear than the scattered noises that you hear from the battles going on further away. It was an audible three-dimensional experience because that's closer so you can hear it better. And I thought that detail was so cool. I don't know if I've heard it that much of a difference where you could still hear the battle going on in front of you, but those noises sounded further away. It was just a really nice detail right there. And also what I thought was very evident, or more evident, I should say, in this scene is the colors in the different armies. So the men and the elves had that more goldish hue, more brilliance to them. And then the orcs had more of a drab, almost colorless look. And I thought the HDR and the wider color gamut really helped that pop and helped that difference be noticed. And maybe it didn't change the color too much, but it showed a much more brilliance out of that gold. And I thought that was really, really nice and a big difference that I saw. At 3 minutes and 55 seconds, So when Sauron's fingers and the ring go flying up in the air, this is another scene I had to freeze because I loved it so much. But check out the contrast of the armor from Sauron's gauntlet, the ring and the sword set against that, the soft texture of the dark clouds or plumes of ash above. The HDR really feels like it gives more detail and depth to this shot. It looks really cool as a frozen frame, but in motion, it's like almost 3D. Watch it back and forth, do whatever you want to do, but freeze it, check it out. I tried to take some pictures of it, but the camera didn't grab it right. It just didn't look the same on my camera as it looked on the big screen. Oh, and then it's like, how can I not mention when Sauron is destroyed? Like right after this. So he is destroyed, does that like explosion thing, which isn't really an explosion, but the bass that goes across your room when his army falls. So you get that nice bass shot when he explodes or goes away or whatever. And then that blast of, it felt like a blast of air was hitting me, a concussion blast, if you will. And it spreads across your room. It's so, so strong. It's like I said, I almost felt like I could feel the air, but there wasn't any, of course. But I felt that bass vibrate right through me as that big boomy blast from the initial, it just spreads around the room and the armies fall and you could feel it coming. And then when it gets to you, it literally goes through you. Nice timing on that sound to picture type thing. Really cool. At 8 minutes and 15 seconds, Bilbo, just the warmth of and detail of Bilbo's house, the saturation of the warm colors and the detail and what was darker shadows in the 1080p is really nice here. This really is like watching it again for the first time. It's like, check out all the colors of the Shire as well as the hobbits all prep for Bilbo's birthday. And then speaking of colors and Bilbo's birthday, at 10 minutes and 15 seconds, the banner. When they raise the yellow banner, you see the vibrant green grass as the banner gets raised up against that deep blue sky. First off, with the wider color gamut of the Rec 2020, that sky is a nice deep blue. But in the 1080p, the 709 color has it more of a lighter blue, so you don't get such a great contrast between that yellow banner and the blue sky. And then the detail in the banner itself, the shadow and the highlights through the yellow part of the banner. The green design, it's like a scrawl, like a scrolling design on the banner. That was really vibrant, that green. And then the red trim around the edges of this banner, it's more of a maroon with a nice detail of highlights and shadows. The color on the 1080 looked more of a, like a more of a bright red than it did this nice deep maroon that it had. Check this scene out. It looks so colorful and really just popped. The entire Shire looks nice. The greens look nice, but the blue sky is what really popped out to me compared to the 709 color. Because in the 709, and I'll talk about this in a few minutes, in the 709, some of the greens really popped anyways, but it's that, it's the 2020 where you get the better color gamut, you get more wider range, and it can pull out those deep blues. And then the HDR helps with that too, creating a better contrast. And like I said, this is even on my projector, so imagine what it's like on an OLED or something. But this banner scene is definitely one to freeze frame and check out all of the nice colors there. It's really, really cool. At 10 minutes and 20 seconds, the door, we have a cool knock at the door, one of my favorites. Here we go. And it's at the left rear side of the room, but also the bird sounds on the right side of the room, as if it's kind of, the bird sounds are kind of filling the room, but then there's a fire going on the right side of the room. This is really quick. That knock at the door is really quick. And it obviously, I think it is Gandalf. Gandalf's knocking at the door for Bilbo. And you're looking at Bilbo's back, but it's like, it's really, just really quick, you get that knock at the door, and that was really cool. Of course, I love that, so that's why I made that note. But then check out the ambient sounds around the room, and you got that little fire going on the right-hand side. But getting back to that 2020 color, check out the green leaf on the left side of your screen. It's the lower leaf on the plant right in front of Bilbo on the desk. And that green, it just really pops off the screen, and I hadn't seen that before. Not to that kind of vibrancy. And the entire shot is comprised of really warm colors. So you have Bilbo's vest, tons of detail there. The wood grain, his entire desk, everything around the scene is very warm. It's very almost monochromatic, but it's not. And that little piece of green is just popping, like I said. But then watch what happens right after this scene. They snap right to a picture of Frodo out in the Shire, and the entire screen is green. It's like, it's all of the foliage of the Shire. You have trees and the grass and Frodo sitting there in the middle of the screen. So that is the equivalent of going from a completely black screen to a completely white screen. red and green are opposite colors, and the way this pops back and forth, that's what really gives you that pop of green, because your eyes have been looking at that almost completely reddish screen, and now we go to that green, and I love when they do stuff like that, because I see that and I'm like, that is no accident. It's not like they're sitting there going, all right, let's go to a scene in the Shire now. They're doing that for a reason, and it really paces it out for your eyes to be like, wow, that is really cool. It makes that green really, really pop. And then shortly after that, at 11 minutes and 11 seconds, you're late. Just wow. Look at Gandalf's gray, but has a green tint to it, probably because of the Shire around him. But that gray-green hat. And check out the texture on this. The soft pills, the fuzziness, and exactly 11 minutes and 15 seconds just before Gandalf raises his head up. Almost the whole screen is his, you know, wizard's hat. And it's just so soft. It's so fuzzy. It's like, it looks so good, but then he raises his head and we get more of that contrast here, because you had the whole screen was almost filled with this nice fuzzy hat. And now you're getting the texture of his hair, which is obviously more coarse than that hat. It's like you could feel that hair, and then the detail in his warm face, the wrinkles, the age spots, the glossiness in his eyes. So much to take in here in such a simple shot. It's so nice. And it's the HDR, the 4K, everything. It's just so spectacular. And the colors, it's so awesome. I love this disc. At 20 minutes and 45 seconds, the celebration. So now we move to the Shire at night and everything looks just brilliant. It's like the darks are deep and the warm light is evident on all the skin tones. But all the different colors, all the party goers, they really pop. It's one thing in the sunlight, but now in the night light here, and we have, obviously we have warm lights from their lanterns and everything, but there's clearly some moonlight, I guess, but the detail is just so excellent. And at 20 minutes and 45 seconds, we get a really nice bass effect with the launching of the first firework. It shoots up in the air with a nice bass explosion. Then as it spreads out and comes at you, the sound spreads out around your room too. Really nice. And a few of those sounds actually come right at you as well. So like obviously the explosion's happening at the kind of right side of your screen, right center. And then some of the explosion goes away from you. Some goes to the right, some goes to the left, but a few of them come right at you and you can feel it go right by you. At 21:45, we get some ambient sounds of fireworks going off on the left and right, even some overhead, because we're going through the celebration and people are letting fireworks off all around you. So you're getting nice pops around your room. And nice clear dialogue of Frodo and Bilbo talking, but listen to all your other channels as well. It's like, so obviously the first time you're watching this, you're paying attention to Frodo and Bilbo and the conversation that's taken place that's gonna, you know, lead to what's about to happen. But go back and don't listen to them and listen to all of your other channels. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how engaged all those other channels are. And then how much that just really adds to the depth of this movie and the depth of the experience that you can have and that you are having while watching it. So at 22 minutes and 55 seconds, Dragon launched, one of the many scenes here that I will play over and over, and write this down, put it outside your door, because you're going to want to be able, hey, you have somebody over, check this scene out. It's 22 minutes and 55 seconds of the disc. So Dragon launched, Pippin and Merry launch a firework that turns out to be a dragon, and it's spectacular. Let's start with the sound on this. As they're arguing about sticking it in the ground, you can hear the crowd going and the fuse. You know, just that noise, that you can hear that going very clearly. And then suddenly you get almost a jump scene as it goes off, but it's a quick, deep bass shot to the chest and the sound of the rocket past you overhead. Really, really cool. Then the picture goes to a shot from above and the dragon appears, opens his mouth, and it seems to consume you as it shoots like to you, and the mouth opens and you go inside it, you, your whole room, everything. And the room is quickly, but gradually, if that makes sense, like it just goes around you. It's like filled with bass. It just the whole, like you just went right inside his mouth. Then listen for the overheads and how the bass sounds like it's slightly over you as the dragon approaches and flies by. So now the dragon's coming down and it's going to fly by you over your head. And you could hear that whoosh, the almost like a jet engine, like as it goes over you. And when the dragon finally explodes, we get a nice deep bass shot to the chest again, just like when you're at the actual fireworks, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, those booms that you can feel, but there's barely anything to see. It's just the, you know, those at the fireworks, those little boom, I don't know what to call them, but they're very powerful, but it doesn't look like much. This scene sounded as close to an actual firework event as I've ever heard in my theater. Those very small concussion blasts you get with the higher pitch explosions, it's everything. It was so detailed in sound. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, I'll be playing this one over and over. Now, let's get to the picture. Still on the same scene. The picture was awesome. It was so good. I had to freeze frame a bunch of these scenes. But let's start with, take a look at the deep, dark blue sky, the night sky, as the dragon is first launched up. And the detail of the green tree on the right and the pine needle and how, like, the green against that dark sky. And that what impressed me about that dark sky, how closer to the ground, it was a little bit lighter of a blue. It's still very dark blue, but then you got closer to black as you got further away from the horizon line, much like you would see. And then the green of the grass, the green of the tree, the brilliance of the fiery dragon against that, the trail of smoke, the detail in that trail of smoke behind the dragon. So it comes up and then is coming at you. And depending on where you freeze frame this, depending on what scene you actually froze on, whatever it is, check out the detail in that, in the depth, the color gradation that you get there. It is so good. But like I said, the gradation of the blue sky, where a lot of movies, a dark night sky is just like a black sky. And here it's not. It's blue. And it's very dark blue. Really cool. And tons of beautiful detail that when it's in motion, it's just awesome. It's like I said, you can freeze frame it and it looks great. But watching that dragon fly over your head, it's so nice. If you freeze it at exactly 2317, you can really get a sense of, this may be one of the negative ones, of the green screen. Because all the hobbits' heads are highlighted around them, and you kind of get that sense of the night sky behind them. So maybe that's one of the flaws. But watching this play out in real time, and then looking at all the detail that they did put in for the depth of color and the brilliance of color, it's so nice that it's so easy to forgive those little tiny things that, what are you going to do? At the end of this scene, though, now let's get to the other side. After the dragon goes by, we get a ton of detail in the sky here, too, as the dragon finally explodes. Again, you can see the smoke in the sky, because now the smoke is all taking up your screen because the dragon went by and now it has exploded. So check out the detail in the sky there. Check out the green landscape again. Really nice. The houses, the brilliance of the lights in those houses, really cool. And the reflection of the fireworks in the pond or lake or whatever that is down below. All of that, I never had it stand out to me like this before. It never looked this brilliant to me before. 27 minutes and 35 seconds, Bilbo Baggins. And that's yelled out. That's with an exclamation point. This is when Gandalf has to get stern with Bilbo and his voice literally pours into your room. I set this timestamp so that when we get a little of the conversation that starts where it should lock at the front center. So Bilbo and Gandalf are talking and all the dialogue is coming from the front center. So if you started here at 27:35, you'll get a good sense of that. But then as Gandalf raises his temper, the bass obviously increases, but listening to how his voice starts to spread out around your room, like linearly, working its way to the rear channel. So it stays at like speaker level, ear level around your room. Then it fills in over your head, almost as if from behind. Plus, on top of that, you can hear all of the discrete sounds of what sounds like Bilbo's room expanding. It sounds like the walls of my theater were being pushed back. You could hear those creaking noises. It's a short, quick scene, but it's just so cool. Especially, like, listen for that sound spread around your room, goes in behind you, Gandalf's voice, and then over the top of you. Really, really cool. At 32 minutes and 10 seconds, Saruman's lair, HDR glory. I love this scene. Awesome, awesome bass. This is such a dark scene, but made so glorious with the HDR. Just start at the timestamp and watch and pause as you'd like and check out all the detail. The smoke, the clouds or whatever they are, the shadows, the highlights. The grayer highlights that are from the moon, but also the warmer highlights that come from the flames or the lava down below. The warm glow of Mount Doom in the distance, and it's almost like haloed by its glow from behind it. As this shot starts out, the clean, crisp bass has your room vibrating from the ominous picture that you're looking at. But at the same time, as I'm reviewing, like going over this, I'm like, I just love it. It's not ominous to me at all. I just love the artistic part of it. But as the scene pans over to the castle, you can hear a deeper bass approaching on your left. And as you get your first look at the castle, the little lights, flames really pop with the HDR and the wider color gamut. The flame color is a little more deeper orange than the brighter yellow of the 709. That's what's so cool about the HDR and the 2020 working together. That with no HDR in 709, if you want something brighter, you need to make it lighter to get it to pop. So in 709, you get a decent pop with those flames, but they need to be a more yellow, a lighter color. In 2020 with HDR, you can get a more natural color of orange, which is a, quote, darker color than yellow. But because of HDR, because it can put that brightness out and retain the color, you get a more vibrant picture. You get a more accurate picture. Instead of just a bright light, you get the actual color of that light. But anyways, as this scene plays out, we get a great bass shot from Mount Doom erupting. And then a really nice sound and picture effect as the ring rays leave the castle. The picture is more HDR glory as it is a very dark scene, but really no detail seems to be lost. The stone you get on the left, like the mountainside on the left, a lot of detail there. You get the dark castle, which is like concrete or whatever it's made out of, but plenty of detail there. Green hue coming out the door, and then the detail in the riders and their horses, the darkness of the riders themselves, but then the detail on their, you know, their armor, or whether it's the texture of the horses against their armor. And then another jump scene here where it jumps from that to the harsh contrast of the scene where we get Gandalf riding up the hill to look at Mount Doom from a distance erupting. All the while, great bass rumble envelops your room that you could feel in your seat. Even while, like, I've got my new sound isolation feed on the subwoofer, I'm still getting a nice, clean vibration that just takes over my room. But this entire scene, I love it for the HDR. Like I said, the little orange lights on that castle and the detail that you can see in the lava. It's such a difference between the Rec 2020 from the Rec 709. And we'll get into a little bit more of that in a few minutes when I have another scene. It's actually three scenes away. I'm looking at it right now. All right. At 39 minutes and 31 seconds, The Ring. Not so flawless. If you look at this, freeze this right there and take a look at the ring, and at the 4 o'clock position, the wear and tear on the ring from like being carried on a chain, it's like you could see the little notches in the ring. It's a little detail that I liked and I hadn't noticed before, but when you see the ring up close like this later on towards the end of this disc, you'll know what I'm talking about. It was just really cool. Really cool. Check that out and we'll reference back to that towards the end. at 43 minutes and 17 seconds, separate ways. Gandalf and Frodo and Sam need to go their separate ways here, but the picture of them walking in the woods is really nice. The lush greens and the chestnut color of the horse are really nice and look more natural and realistic than the 1080p version. And at about the 43:25 mark, we get a nice deep bass rumble as Frodo clutches the ring in his pocket. Watch this scene a few times and take in all the little nice details. Even Gandalf's hat again. It's that I just love the plushness of that hat. I should name this episode the Plush Podcast, between the carpet that we had in Scott's theater and now Gandalf's hat. All right. Everything is just so nicely rendered in this. At 44 minutes and 27 seconds, Farthest From Home. And this is where we get into a more of a HDR versus SDR or Rec 2020 versus Rec 709. This scene here is really like how natural looking Rec 2020 is over 709. And like, or it's kind of like the difference between a television and vivid mode and, you know, standard, really. The colors scream at you in 709. And I went back and forth on this particular scene. And you see this when people post stuff online. Here's the new 4K version. Here's the old 1080 and the 1080 online, because you're looking at it on Twitter or wherever with your phone. And you're like, well, that looks way more dynamic. And that isn't what HDR is about. It's not. A lot of people just say it's about the brightness, the brightest color and the darkest color. And it's not. That's not what HDR is about. Because your projector, whether it's putting out HDR or not, it can do the most, it can get as bright as it can get, and it can be as dark as it can get. But what it can't do without HDR is all those grays in between. So if you just wanted to have a black side of your screen and a white side of your screen, that's as bright as that side of the screen can get, and that's as dark as that side of the screen can get. That's not HDR, but that's the definition according to a lot of people. What the difference is all those grades of gray in between. And you compile that with a wider color gamut, and you are able to give a more natural looking picture. So when you look at a picture in 709, you're like, wow, that is vibrant. That looks so good. Well, yeah, because this picture can't do the nice shades in between, whether it be black and white or the color. The foundation of your picture is the black and white. Color just goes right over the top of that for all intents and purposes. So this scene here, I went back and forth a bunch of times, and the green corn stalks in 709 just jump off the screen. They look gorgeous. They're so green. And then the yellow of the wheat or whatever field that is, that looks gorgeous. Sam's hair, just really vibrant, really coming off the screen. It's almost like he's a redheaded, just really jumping out. Frodo's hair, everything looks great. But then the sky in the background is kind of a lighter blue, which is fine because the whole screen looks good. But then you look at it in HDR with the Rec 2020 color, and everything looks subdued. But there's more detail in it. And the sky is a more brilliant blue. There's more detail in the clouds. It's everything looks more natural. Sam's hair looks more natural. And it's a lot of people have trouble going back and forth. I've even seen people's opinions that they don't like it because it doesn't look as vibrant to them. Well, the world isn't necessarily that vibrant. The idea of the HDR in 2020 is a more accurate picture. So that's why I picked this. Check that out. If you have the opportunity to go back and forth and be able to flip that, you'll know what I'm talking about. Check it out. I'll try to post some pictures of that. But yeah, that was at 44 minutes and 27 seconds. I thought that was a cool scene to show that example. At 49 minutes and 32 seconds, door slams. Some really cool door slams here, really nice bass and localized sound around your room as Gandalf tries to run away and get out of the room from Saruman. Forgot his name for a second there. But then there's also really nice bass and sound effects as Saruman manipulates Gandalf. Like he's got him and he's spinning him around on the floor. He's doing all that. Really nice bass that you can feel, and great use of all channels in your room from this scene. Make you feel like you're in that room because there's an echo to that room, like it's an echo chamber. But yeah, the doors closing and they pop off on different sides of your room. Just a really fun sounding, engaging scene. At 53 minutes and 48 seconds, get off the road. This one's really cool because it's a really quiet scene. And this is where Frodo, Sam, Pippin, Merry, they have to jump off the road and get under that root of that tree and be quiet. And then the Black Rider comes up and the horse is moving across the top of your screen from right to left. And it's just a really quiet scene because everybody's trying to be quiet. And it's so quiet that you can hear all those little small insects and the small sounds of those insects coming out. And because the Black Riders are bringing those insects out, you can hear the horse on the left side of your screen because his snout is now to the left of your screen, so you can hear him breathing over there. Just a really nice detailed screen. Great detail in the picture as well. At 1 hour, 1 minute, and 52 seconds, and he's gone. And of course, I'm talking about Frodo. Some great HDR here in this pretty much monochromatic scene when Frodo puts the ring on accidentally and he disappears, and now he's in that realm or whatever that is. But the bass sound as Frodo disappears is really cool. Everything's swirling around your room. The picture has so much detail here, though, while we're seeing what Frodo's seeing. It's like it's blurry looking, but there's like you're looking at something through heat, if you know what I mean. But that's what I mean. It's not like a detail like you can read the newspaper here, but just all of the different shades of gray I really liked out of this. Didn't feel like that was apparent before. And then the shot of the riders taking off, like now they know where he is. The ring went on them. They sense it and they've got to turn around and take off in that direction. And the riders taking off against that moonlit sky. It was the dark. I think it was a tree or something that the moon was behind. So the sky was one shade of dark blue again. And then the black tree and the black riders. Just really, really nice shot there. The sound was so deep and enveloping. You felt as though you were lying there right next to Frodo as the sound wrapped all around you in all directions, including from above. This has always been one of my favorite like home theater experiences, one of my favorite scenes, even going way back to the DVD or the earliest Blu-ray that I had of this. I really liked this scene, but now it just seems even more engaging to me. At 1 hour, 7 minutes, and 35 seconds, bugs. If you stop this for a few seconds earlier, you'll think I'm going to talk about the incredible bass building up to this scene. But you can't, I mean, I could talk about every bass scene in this, but I'd be here all night talking about this, and that might get boring. But at 1 hour, 7 minutes, 35 seconds, check out these little bugs, and they're all around your room, filling your theater space. So the hobbits are making their way through that marshy area, and it's just really quick. It's probably for like 5 seconds. You get those bugs all around you, and it's just a really gross scene, but it was really cool. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought I'd make note of that. At 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 4 seconds, Sauron's voice. Oh, holy crap. He comes booming through all of your speakers as he speaks to Saruman about building an army. So he's, you know, Saruman's looking into the eye, the ball there, the nice bowling ball. And you could, but Sauron's voice is just so deep and so booming. I've heard this so many times before, but I jumped out of my seat when I heard it on this disc, not out of fear, but out of how awesome it sounded. I wanted to stand up and start clapping. It was just so, so deep and so clear and coming from everywhere, but yet coming from nowhere. It's like, no, you couldn't tell where it was coming from. It just filled your room. It's such a great scene. Definitely check that out as soon as you get home. If you listen to this in the car, just go put it on at 1 hour, 9 minutes and 4 seconds. It's very quick, but oh my God, it's so awesome. Another great scene. Here we go again. It's 1 hour, 13 minutes, 33 seconds. Gone again. Frodo slips the ring on again, and the result for us is more HDR and Atmos goodness. The HDR gives great depth to the kings, who are now white because now they're not taking on the appearance of the Black Riders. They're taking on the king appearance, and they're trying to reach in, or they're looking at Frodo as he lays there, and all the shades of white and gray add so much to what was already a great scene. plus the contrast to all the grays and blacks when we see the stone, like when we're not in that realm, we see how the world really is. And you see all the grays and blacks of what, of the stone around them and the textures of the floor, of the sandy floor, of the stones all around them. Really, really cool. And the Atmos track with the bass, especially when Frodo is stabbed and the swirling winds all around your room, it just makes this a really fun scene to demonstrate your room in the system. It just another great scene, just a lot of fun. At 1 hour, 16 minutes and 50 seconds, Orcs. When you're done listening to all the clanking steel, the great bass, checking out the fabulously detailed and disgusting birth of these orcs as they come out of their pods or whatever, they're peeling out of them, and it's just gross, but so much great detail, great sound. At this timestamp, at exactly 1 hour and 17 minutes exactly, I swear you'll hear a human voice cry out or moan and say even ow. It's like you hear him go, ow, ow. It's something like that. Right at the 1 hour, 17 minute mark, check it out. It's like, and it's on like, I think the left side of your room. You can hear it. And I think the later one, you'll hear an ow. And then shortly after that, it's another moan. And it sounds more like a cow or a calf. But it was like this weird moan amongst all the other sounds that are going on. It's like a person got stuck in there. It was pretty funny. I checked that one out. At 1 hour, 22 minutes and 2 seconds, Arwen. This is towards the end of her ride when she's trying to save Frodo from being stabbed. And the whole ride is really awesome. But the end of it has some great bass from the score and from the horses as they're like getting around the corner and they're about to reach the river there. But what really stood out to me was two things I hadn't heard so distinctly before. First, the Black Rider saying, give up the halfling she-elf, and the way he said it and the detail that was in his voice, I hadn't heard that clearly before. I felt like it was the first time I'd even heard the line. I might not even have understood it before. I'm not sure, but I won't forget it now. It's like the detail. I don't even want to try it. My voice is getting hoarse just talking about this movie and doing this podcast. It was so great. Not the podcast, the movie. It's just really, really good. I feel like I could nail it, though, because my voice is so hoarse or getting that way. But anyways, the second thing was Liv Tyler's reply, and I definitely don't want to try to imitate this, but her line was, if you want him, come and claim him. And that had a touch of reverb and depth that I hadn't noticed before. It was very womanly, very powerful, though, and it was so pleasant, but yet strong. But listen to that slight reverb that really comes in a second when she starts chanting the chant that she needs to do to get the water to rise. But you, that voice, that power, and that echo, that very slight echo, contrasted against her angelic slash elvish look of her face. It was just so cool. But then as the scene plays out and she's doing that chanting, the echo becomes even more and more evident. And it was just really cool. And something I hadn't seen before, hadn't noticed to this detail before. Jumping ahead a little bit. 1 hour, 35 minutes and 17 seconds. Isildur's heir. This spaciousness of the sound in here. Now we're in the room. We're in the chamber with the sword. And the spaciousness of sound here is really, really nice. It's as Arwen is coming into the room. She's going to talk to Aragorn, and you feel like your space has become the chamber. From the echoes in their voices to the sound of the air moving, and even a cricket. You can hear a cricket going. So it's like, obviously you get the echo, the reverb of being in this chamber, and it's very quiet. You can hear the air moving, like I said. But it's that little cricket. It's like, apparently the cricket is like the universal symbol for silence because they just threw a cricket in here for whatever reason. It's just another elegantly shot and produced scene. Really, really nice. At 1 hour, 38 minutes and 50 seconds, we have Boromir's reach, We're getting towards the end here. This is disc one. We're getting towards the end of it. Another room-filling sound scene that slowly builds as Boromir approaches the ring. You start hearing the sounds all around the room. You hear the voices in different speakers around your room as Boromir's, you know, walking towards the ring at the center of the group there. You can even hear voices from behind you and around you just as he's reaching, but before Elrond stands up and Gandalf sets everyone straight with the room-filling bass of his voice. Very much like, exactly like, actually, you know, the scene with Bilbo at the beginning of the movie. The room fills gradually with this bass and Gandalf's voice. It really feels like the water is pouring into your room. It feels like, not the water, but it feels like if water was pouring into your room. His voice, again, fills linearly. The sound fills up the room and then goes over your head, really enveloping you. It's just a great execution of sound diffusion where it sounds like the at first you can tell where it's coming from, and then all of a sudden it fills the entire room and you can't tell where it's coming from. It just fills the entire room. Really nice. And the last scene at 1 hour, 43 minutes even, the fellowship is born, I called it. More of the same building of sound as Frodo stares at the ring and ultimately steps up to end the arguing. But much in the way of the previous scene, the sound builds with this vibrating bass that shakes your walls and your house to the foundation. And the picture's awesome, too. The reflections of all of the characters in the ring, clearer than ever. It just looked so nice. But this is that scene that I referenced earlier where we got a close-up of the ring in Bilbo's house on the table. Now look at the ring and freeze it here and take a look at how pristine that ring looks, how clean it is. No grooves, no markings, no anything. But you could see all of the characters sitting around or gathered around the ring. The reflection coming off of that is just the brilliance of this scene. And I mean that in the picture, the brilliance of it. It looked so nice. This is such an awesome disc. I really, really enjoyed that. I enjoyed breaking this down. I enjoyed every second of sitting there and just watching over this scene. And a lot of what I saw, and it's not even all here. I know you guys will see more. I can't recommend this disc enough. Of course, you all know how much everybody loves this disc. But what an awesome disc. I can't wait to do disc two, part two. Reminds me of my Laserdisc days when I had to get up and flip it. So we will do that next month. I had a blast doing this, as I said. Can't say that enough. I hope you enjoyed it. You can tell if you can't tell, my voice is getting hoarse, but this was a blast. Questions, comments, theaters that you want featured, you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. If you want to have a conversation, tell me something that's going on, you can reach me on Twitter at brightsidehT. Love having the conversations there. And be on the lookout. You never know now when a video might show up on YouTube. I'm getting into that. I've got some ideas on things that I could put out over there. Thank you to everybody that's shown support over there. If you haven't gone over there, check out my YouTube page, Brightside Home Theater, on YouTube. YouTube page on YouTube. Duh. And subscribe. Really appreciate it. Let's get those numbers up. That was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun going over there. That's a new experience for me. I'm learning as I go. It's nerve-wracking, but it's fun. It's fun learning something new. So appreciate all the support over there as well. I'm Horace. I need to go get some more water. I've finished my water here. Everybody have a great week. I'll be back next week with a fresh voice, a fresh movie. We'll have some fun. Send me your experiences. Send me your scenes. Whatever you want to do, we'll talk about it next week. Until then, go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.